from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez, and we're broadcasting today from the studios of KPBS in San Diego. San Diego calls itself America's finest city, but like so many other places in California, it faces a growing housing crisis. I talked to San Diego's Republican Mayor Kevin Faulkner about the issue. He blames too many regulations and NIMBY thinking for the housing crisis.
Let's take the NIMBYs first. A lot of folks will say, Mr. Mayor, I want more housing. I just don't want it here, right? Build it somewhere else. This is not a partisan issue. This is what is the right thing that we should be doing for our future. And when you phrase it in those terms and you actually put the policies in place that I think make sense, that's how you start to get the momentum. But there's no doubt that the regulatory reform is incredibly important if we're going to achieve not just our housing goals in San Diego, but our housing goals across the state of California.
You mentioned NIMBY opposition, but you've called yourself a YIMBY mayor. You embrace that term, yes, in my backyard, meaning build a lot more in my backyard. Is that a problem to have that stance in San Diego, a city that, you know, views itself as suburban, low rise, slow growth, and it's almost in the DNA of the city?
We have to get more housing built. The right conversation is, where do you want to build that? And that's why I think we've had this, as we've said, it's not about building high rises in single family neighborhoods, you know, 20 miles outside of downtown. It's about how do we want that growth and development and that density to occur next to our major transportation corridors, next to the trolley, next to our bus rapid transit lanes, next to the freeway.
And I'm sure you talk to them, the people who say, you know, Mr. Mayor, that's not San Diego. That's like Manhattan West. That's something else you want. That's the dreaded Los Angeles. But it's not the city that I grew up in, that I came to know and love. You must hear versions of that argument all the time.
Well, look, our quality of life and that is unique to San Diego is something that I absolutely will always protect. You know, our clean beaches, our air, our oceans, our bays, our views. And that's why we've made so much effort to say it's not about putting things haphazardly. It's about going through the community plan update, getting community buy-in to say, we're going to keep San Diego that special place that it is. We're also going to ensure that San Diegans can afford to live in San Diego.
Do you mind if I stop you there? Because I looked up the numbers. Yeah. The median household income in San Diego is in the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. There's no one who earns that who can buy a home in the city of San Diego, right?
It's incredibly difficult. The issue of housing and homelessness, those two combined issues are the issues I spend the most time of as mayor, and rightfully so. We need to add units. We need to make sure it's affordable. And if we're going to continue to grow good quality jobs and continue our, you know, the economy and the innovation economy and what we need to be doing, we have to be competitive when it comes to housing.
Mayor Kevin Faulkner of San Diego, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Let's turn to the Bay Area now. After removing three jurors for undisclosed reasons, the judge in the Ghost Ship Warehouse fire trial in Oakland has replaced them with alternates and told the jurors to begin deliberations all over again. Master Tenant Derek Almena and Max Harris each face 36 counts of involuntary manslaughter for the fatal 2016 warehouse fire that killed 36 people. Prosecutors say the two men turned the warehouse in Oakland's Fruitvale neighborhood into an illegal living and event space without any safety precautions like fire sprinklers and smoke alarms. Families of people shot and killed by police officers in California are applauding yesterday's signing of a bill into law by Governor Gavin Newsom. It aims to further restrict when officers can use lethal force. From KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Katie Orr reports.
Supporters say California's newly signed use of force law will be one of the toughest in the country. It says law enforcement can only use deadly force when necessary rather than just reasonable. Democratic Assemblywoman Shirley Weber authored the measure. She says families of victims were passionate about strengthening the law.
It has been an eye-opener for me because I understood somewhat their pain, but I never knew how deep and how permanent that pain was because they lacked justice.
Law enforcement dropped their opposition to the bill after several amendments giving officers more leeway. The law will take effect in January. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
The new use of force law is named after Stephen Clark, an African-American resident of Sacramento who was fatally shot by police in March of 2018 after officers say they mistook his cell phone for a gun. In that same year, there were 628 cases of California law enforcement using force that caused death or serious injury. That, according to the California Attorney General's office. Let's turn to immigration. Immigrant detainees in California and other states are suing to force U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to improve its medical care and accommodations for people with disabilities. KQED's Farida Jamvala Romero reports the class action lawsuit comes as ICE is holding a record number of people.
The plaintiffs claim detention conditions are brutal and unlawful and have contributed to the 12 deaths in ICE custody since the beginning of last year. All the individuals suing have serious medical and mental health conditions, or they're blind or deaf.
We have people who have mental health disabilities who, instead of getting treatment and medication, are placed in solitary confinement for months at a time.
Plaintiff attorney Stuart Seaborn is with Disability Rights Advocates in Berkeley.
People who are deaf, who are not able to speak to their attorneys or get medical information because there aren't interpreters available for them.
ICE is holding more than 55,000 people on any given day, 20% more than last summer. An ICE official says the agency provides comprehensive medical care to all detainees and that the rates of deaths in solitary confinement are much lower than in state and federal prisons. For the California Report, I'm Farida Jamvala Romero.
Here's something that might surprise you. Most of the money California parents pay in child support doesn't actually go to their kids. It goes to the government. But as KQED politics correspondent Marisa Lagos reports, there's a move to change that.
You went to Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
36-year-old Thomas Lamb Jr. says he's always tried to do right by his kids. But for a while, Lamb found himself in an untenable situation. His child support payments were eating up most of his income, too much for him to still spend money on his daughters when they were with him. The thing is, the money wasn't reaching his kids and their mom either. Since they were on government assistance, just $50 of the $1,000 being taken out of Lamb's paycheck was actually being passed on to his ex. The rest was going to pay back the government for the welfare benefits his ex was receiving.
It felt like it was like, what's the point of working? Like, they're taking all this money. I still have to pay for my kids' food, clothes, and all this other stuff. But it seemed impossible to do all of that.
Making matters worse, since Lamb had fallen behind on payments, the state was charging 10% interest. All told, he owed $6,000. And if he didn't pay, he could lose his driver's license or even go to jail. Lamb is not alone. Studies show that 70% of child support debt in California is owed to the government, and the vast majority of parents paying child support make less than $10,000 a year. State Senator Nancy Skinner.
Well, it's so absurd.
Skinner is one of several lawmakers trying to change that. She has a bill that would increase the amount families get from $50 a month to $200. Another bill would eliminate the interest charged on child support debt. Skinner noted that for a parent working for minimum wage, a few hundred dollars a month is a lot of money.
Because what we're doing is we're trying to get blood from a turnip, blood from a stone, as they say.
A group of anti-poverty organizations recently joined together with state and local government to see what would happen if parents like Thomas Lamb could wipe out their child support debt. The Urban Institute study, being released today, found that the parents paid child support more consistently, their relationships with their kids improved, and they were more likely to get jobs and get their own finances in order.
But then to think that $200 you are then turning over supposedly to your family every month only ends up being 50 that they get, I mean, what's your motivation? You would have no motivation.
Skinner and others hope that by changing the system, more parents can get right with their children. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Support for the California Report comes from Paint Care. Now with 760 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint, more at paintcare.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Strauss Family Creamery, celebrating 25 years of environmental leadership, collaborative farmer relationships, and minimally processed 100% organic dairy products. Learn more at straussfamilycreamery.com.
And that's it for the California Report for Tuesday, August 20th. Our thanks to KPBS Radio in San Diego for hosting us. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a great day.